When a commitment is made to open intelligence, a commitment is made to seeing our identity as it actually is, seeing our nature as it actually is, rather than as a collection of facts accumulated to date. And so many of the things that we learn about ourselves are just become automatic. We automatically decide whether the data stream that's flowing through is positive, negative, or neutral. Is it positive, negative, or neutral? And we want lots of positive data, and we don't want any negative data. In open intelligence, we allow all that data to just be as it is. We don't prioritize the data as to it being positive, negative, or neutral. In that, we move beyond that particular type of intelligence, level of intelligence, or kind of intelligence. That is a kind of intelligence. It is a kind or type of intelligence that is always parsing and nuancing data as to whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. In open intelligence, that other level of intelligence is superseded or subsumed in a more comprehensive level of intelligence. A level of intelligence that doesn't need to parse and nuance data in order to live effectively. All the data, it's just dynamic energy that's been named something. When it's just allowed to be as it is, we find an expanded definition of all data. So say we used anger as an example earlier of giving a name to data. Anger. Well, what can we do with anger? We can indulge it, avoid it, replace it, or expand it, clarify its definition. What is it actually? Actually, it is open intelligence. It's the power and energy of open intelligence, first and foremost. So we extract that power by just letting it be as it is. It flows on by. The data flows on by. Open intelligence is prioritized. Our energy doesn't go into the ineffective action of indulging, avoiding, or replacing the data stream with another one. Everything is allowed to be as it is. Clear seeing, absolutely clear seeing of everything as it is. We learn through our current worldview that humans somehow have a basic original flaw that needs to be corrected. So that's the worldview or model that we're living out of. But actually, we're seeing more and more through our own invention that we're not a closed system. We're not each individual isn't a closed system with some kind of fatal flaw that needs to be corrected. Our intelligence is alive and vital, and it's networked. Our intelligence is collectively networked. So we can already see that we're not a closed system. We're an open system. We're naturally connected. We can even invent things that display our networked intelligence, like the internet. So we are evolving this leap into open intelligence. It is an evolutionary imperative. that we subsume the ineffective model of intelligence we're using with one that is powerful, one that is beneficial, one that exalts us rather than disempowers us. We get to see just how powerful we are at benefit creation and open-ended knowledge creation. Now, there are many models of original flaw, such as karma, original sin, even ego, pain body. All these are some kind of statement that there's something wrong that needs to be fixed. Some kind of flaw within us. However, whatever it is, whatever we've called it, original sin, karma, ego, whatever we've called it, when it comes up, the idea of going to that and playing with it, trying to do something with it, if we just let it be as it is and let it flow on by, any attempt to do anything about that, then we open up into an expanded definition of our own intelligence. Instead of using all that energy to try to find that fatal flaw and fix it, put the band-aids of positive data all over it, slap, 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 then make ourselves feel better through getting some positive data together on ourselves, then we're already great, just as we are. And so we come to see this very directly and succinctly. Now, from time to time, we change the language that we use in our writings, and that's all based on the responsiveness of people all over the world. So we work on all continents with people in at least 165 countries, more than that actually. And whatever people really are responding to, that's what we incorporate in. So the texts are actually a collaboration of everyone involved. And really quite spontaneously, I gave a talk on Second Life, and it came out as a talk on open intelligence and spontaneous altruism. And we had such a worldwide response to that talk that we initiated the change in the texts. And so you're seeing the first texts now that are formally using the terms open intelligence and data. Now, even just 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been possible to use those terms. Yeah. Now, they're very natural to me because I was born in 1947, so around the era when the first computers were coming about. But my father was a pioneer in computer networking. And so all the ways of thinking about things through that particular paradigm are just part of me. So open intelligence and data, I can really get down with that, you know. And I've been online for 40 years, so you know, since ARPANET and DARPANET, when the online world was first initiated. And I remember the first time I went online, and I was in a room with no windows, and I had an IBM Selectric typewriter, a telephone with a rubber modem. And so the telephone receiver went in the rubber modem, and then I had a dot matrix printer. Of course, there was no monitor or anything. And so I dialed up, or at that time, everyone had to know Boolean language. So if you wanted to use the online system, you had to essentially be a programmer. I typed in what I wanted. I was doing a research project on schizophrenia, treatments for schizophrenia. And I typed in my query, and 24 hours later, I got a bibliography back. And wow, that was amazing at the time. And I'll never forget this, because the first term on the list of the bibliographic search, it was an article from the Archives of General Psychiatry, which is a psychiatry journal. And the name of the article was "Take 2 Milk Bone and Call Me in the Morning." And it was about using dogs as companions for people who diagnosed with schizophrenia. An unforgettable first online experience. I think about a year later, then we were by that time able to have summaries as well with the bibliographic searches. But that was an enormous step from searching in a library, going through volumes of books by hand to put a bibliography together, to all of a sudden having this incredible capability. And then to live with that, to grow with that along the way, has really been an amazing experience. So, you know, we are living in an era of great benefit. And that, as we can already see, there are many profound changes. Those of us in the room who are my age have seen incredibly profound changes in our life. No matter what age we are in this room, we have seen profound changes like have never occurred before, and at a pace that has never occurred before. And that pace is exponential. It will quicken. It's not going to slow down. It will quicken. And so this is where we are. And this is the push we need. This is the push we need. We really need to see who we really are and what we're capable of. And we're showing ourselves what we're capable of through the tremendous technology and science we're creating. By the power of open intelligence, we give ourselves a context for science and technology. Open intelligence, for the benefit of all, becomes the context of science and technology, rather than science for the sake of science, technology for the sake of technology, technology for the sake of income production, revenue production. This is a very, very powerful time for human beings. We're at a point in our evolution where we realize that we house the intelligence of the entire universe in a usable way. Within us, we house the intelligence of the universe in a usable way. We're tapping into that, beginning to know what that means, getting a handle on it. This is dawning on us because we realize that we know things that happened billions of years ago. We can predict exactly where they happened and what happened there at some distant place in the galaxy. We're in another galaxy. And so within us as open intelligence, we have an exact explanatory and mathematical model of everything that is, has been, or will be. And so you see, by the power of open intelligence, we're able to really utilize what we know for the benefit of all. First, we realize a great deal of self-benefit, and more that evolves as collective benefit. Each moment of open intelligence is a building block of the society of great benefit, the era of great benefit. We step out of the fatal flaw. And into the exaltation of this incredible creature we are.